This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 20th of August, 2014, and my name is Patrick Smith. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a great summer. It is a little over a week before the Belfast Giants first take to the ice against the Cardiff Devils for a pre-season competition. But we've got something different for you. We're all getting very excited about the season starting, but rather than get Davey and the coach in to chat directly about what's coming up, we can talk about that next week. We thought we'd take the opportunity to chat to some people involved with the Belfast Giants. So we've got a number of interviews lined up for you. You're going to hear from Robert Fitzpatrick, Adam Keefe. You're going to hear from Evan Chevrolet, a new signing for the Belfast Giants, Ray Sawada. But first of all, we start with Rob Sandrock. Rob is coming into his fourth season as a Belfast Giant. Of course, a lot of us remember him way back when he was a fresh-faced youngster in the Dave Whistle team that won the playoff championship. Now, I don't think he'll forgive me for saying he's one of the elder statesmen of the Belfast Giants squad. A rock solid at the back and a permanent fixture in a Giants shirt for us now. And we had the opportunity earlier on to chat with him, and Davey did the questioning.
I'd like to welcome Rob Sandrock along tonight. Rob, it's been the guts of 5 months since the playoff final. Have you been having a nice restful summer? Are the batteries fully charged for the new season?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was a hard way to end the season last year, the way we lost in overtime there. But, you know, you think about it for the first few weeks after the off season and it kind of eats at you for a bit. But you do regroup, you recharge, and you try to get refocused for the season ahead. And I think all the returning guys have done that, and they're all can't wait to get started again and get right back at it.
Is there a sense, perhaps, especially with the number of guys that are returning this season, is there a sense of unfinished business there, or is it just draw a line under last season and set new targets for this one?
You know, I think that's what it is. It's just last season's last season. It's over with. You know, there's been some significant changes within the organization, and it's just full steam ahead. We aren't looking back to last year. Sure, it's eaten at us over the summer, but we're thinking about this season. We've got a significant portion of the team returning, and we're just looking to get right back at it.
And as far as yourself goes, third season in a row now and fourth overall with the Giants, is there something, you know, we've said there about the returning guys, is there something you can put your finger on as to why so many players are now choosing to make Belfast their home, more or less, and, you know, move here and come back year on year?
Yeah, you know, there's nothing, I don't think there's any one thing you can put it down to. I think it's a combination of things. You know, it's the city, it's the organization, it's the way the players are treated. It's just a whole handful of things that guys love about Belfast, and you can't pin it down to one certain thing. It's just the whole package of what Belfast and Northern Ireland has to offer. You know, Kiefer's going on his fourth year now in a row. Loiter's fourth year. Murph is six or whatever he is. Sheds is five or six. Peaks is five or six. You know, it just goes on and on, and guys are starting to realize how good they have it here. Peaks went away, came back. Mace went away, came back. I went away, came back. You know, and it's Chev too. I can't forget Chev. You know, you go away, you think the grass is greener on the other side, but when you come down to it, everybody's happy here, and that's what guys want.
And sticking with you, over the last number of seasons, you've been one of the assistant coaches. Do you have a lot of input day by day, and is coaching something you see yourself stepping into on down the line, hopefully a few years?
I don't know if I have so much input. I'm more getting it bounced off me and my opinion. I don't think I have a whole lot of input on what goes on. But the coaching, you know, I've thought about that, and it doesn't interest me so much as the business side of the game. I'd like to be on that side of it rather than the coaching side. Coaches, it's a pretty finicky job. You're basically hired to be fired. And I don't really see myself going down that avenue, but never say never. You know, I'd obviously be open to any type of opportunity that did ever come. But like I said, coaching isn't my main focus right now.
We've discussed a good lot on the podcast about the chemistry that the team had, just because of the amount of guys coming back. And this year, probably a first that the whole decor's back. And, you know, it seemed to be a pattern last year that we had one experienced guy with what you'd call a younger prospect, if you like, yourself with Davy Phillips, Elfring with Brookwell, and Mace with Kevin. Do you think that's, you see any reason to change that for me, or do you just build on those partnerships and foundations going into this season?
I think just build on it. You know, I've talked with Steve a little bit, and he's going to start off with the same partners as last year. It'll be a little bit different setup this year with last year's coach, Paul Lady there. He liked to go out in units of five, and Thorts isn't going to do that. So you'll see the D pairings with all the forwards this year, instead of going out with your blocks of five, which everybody will enjoy that a lot more. I think you get to play with more guys and that sort of thing. But not for sure, you know, Elfie and Brookie last year, they were dynamite for us, you know, by far our top two D. Me and Davey, we just did our thing, you know, and Mace and Kev, they played extremely, extremely well as well. And it's working, so just leave it as is for now, you know.
That leads me to my next question very easy. You're 3 points off 150 in a Giants uniform, and pretty incredibly for a D-man, 730-odd career points. Is that something you pay attention to, set targets, or do you just play your game night in, night out, and when the points come, they come?
As you get older, you know, you don't really care about that stuff anymore. If you had asked me this my first time through at the Belfast Giants, for sure I would have been all about the points and that kind of thing. But as you get older, those things don't matter anymore. You just want to go out. You want to enjoy your time with the team. And if you're helping out offensively and getting points and stuff like that, it's a bonus. So right now it's just winning is all I care about. Enjoying the time you spend with the guys around the team on the road trips and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's coming to an end here, whether it's this year, the year after that, who knows, but just trying to enjoy it, right now, and not worry about the points and that kind of thing.
Very good. We mentioned just earlier there that the decor is all back, but obviously Dustin Whitecotton, Jeffrey Suez, Chris Higgins all moved on. One of their replacements is going to be no stranger to you, a former teammate in Munich, Mike Compton. What can you tell us about him? What can we expect from this guy?
He's a great guy and a great player. You know, like I sent that tweet out the other day about his hands. You know, he was young when I was in Munich. I wasn't as old as I am now, but you know, he came over, and it seems every year the skill level of the guys coming over from North America get better and better and more skilled and more skilled. And he was the first one to kind of open my eyes to that, thinking the kids are training a different way these days, because he came over and some of the stuff he could do with the pocket just amazed me. And I don't want to build him up too much and have the fans' expectations super high, but he's a highly skilled player, has a very high hockey IQ, and he will be one of our top performers this year for sure.
And the both of you are going to get an opportunity to make a quick return to Germany in the Continental Cup over in Bremerhaven. Is this something the guys are going to be looking forward to, and he is hoping for maybe progress through a round?
For sure, yeah. You know, when we went 2 years ago, it was, I think I was the only guy on the team that had played in Germany before. So we've got a lot of the players returning from that trip 2 years ago. Plus, we've added Alfring, Soret, Compon now, Chev's here, who have played that more European style. You know, when we were there 2 years ago, that final game against Landshut, we took some bad penalties, and the experience from that has left a bad taste in guys' mouths, like Kiefer and Loiter and those guys. You know, they're like, we can't go out the way we did before. We got to be a little bit more not as rambunctious and that kind of thing, and sit back. And we're very prepared for this. You know, in our heads, we know what we have to do. We've been there before, and guys are really looking forward to it, to hopefully progress to that next level.
And it's sort of just about 2 weeks now before we hit the ice for what will be the first preseason exhibition match, a week before the season starts. He is starting to ramp up the training now, really starting to focus in on those first games.
Yeah, there's about nine of us back now. Kiefer just got in the other day. So there's about nine guys here. Sauce gets in Monday, I believe. Elfie gets in Wednesday. So there'll be about 13 of us skating this week. We've got ice all this week, bright and early at 7 o'clock in the morning. But that just shows what the season means to all the guys. They're willing to get up at 6 a.m, head to training at 6:30, head to the gym after that. And this is all on our own. You know, it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the Giants. This is all on our own. And we're just looking forward to starting off on the right foot here.
Well, Rob, I'd like to thank you for your time and once again, and wish you all the very best for the upcoming games.
Thanks very much, David. I'm sure we'll see you lots throughout the year. You guys take care.
Thanks again to Rob. From one Robert to another, the CEO of the Odyssey Trust, Robert Fitzpatrick, is no stranger to A View from the Bridge, and we hear from him regularly on here. A man who is as passionate about the Giants as he is passionate about all sport. I think it's not that long before he undertakes a mammoth bike ride from Geneva to Nice in aid of charity. We'll give you more information on how you can support him on that, but he chatted while obviously driving somewhere to Neil, the coach, Russell.
Delighted to say joining us on tonight's podcast is Odyssey Trust CEO Robert Fitzpatrick. And Robert, the last time I think we spoke or had you on the podcast anyway was back in W5 whenever you we were announcing Steve Thornton. A lot has happened since then, no more so than Todd Kelman's departure. Any words you want to say about that departure?
Nothing other than to wish Todd all the best for the future. He's been a tremendous service to the club. I consider the relationship that I have with him to be very personal to me. I think that he has been central at all of the good things that the Giants have come to the have done in the past. But as I keep saying, it's time for us to make our own history. And really, Todd's now, unfortunately, part of that history.
Just moving on to this season, the season ahead, something that I know that that you're especially proud and happy with is the uptake in season tickets. You know, they seem to be growing and growing, and the popularity of the Belfast Giants seems to be growing and growing. That must be something, as an owner, you're especially happy and proud of.
Well, I think more people are coming to understand what it is we're trying to achieve. I think the word's starting to filter out that we are excellent value for money. I think the word's starting to filter out that we do our best for our city every time we step out onto the ice, and that really, as a value for money family night out, we provide what's required for people to have entertainment. That's particularly satisfying from if I'm wearing my Odyssey Trust hat. If I'm wearing my Belfast Giants hat, there's nothing that breeds success more than success. And given the stellar performances of the team last year, that can only lead to, okay, a heightened expectation, but also a much greater confidence in the product and the dynasty we're trying to build.
Well, we've talked about the dynasty on many occasions, and you know all that we have to do is look at the team that is coming back yet again for pretty much, you know, some of these guys are back for their third and fourth seasons. You know, this whole dynasty tag that you've kind of brought to the fore over the last year or so really does seem to be bearing fruit.
I think the fundamental thing is that I believe in it, and I think that the people that keep coming back believe it. I think that the steps that, and I said this when I first had the opportunity to speak to the podcast, Adam Keefe and Robbie Sandrock and Kevin Surrett and Craig Peacock and Colin Cheese and now Calvin Elfring and Cody Brookwell, all those guys get it, and they get it in spades, and it's sometimes a little bit humbling. Okay, I'm their employer, but these guys are professional athletes, and they choose to practice their profession in our city. And sometimes we forget that they've got a choice, and they keep picking us because we must be doing something that satisfies them, or it's because they themselves realize that they're part of something special. I choose to believe it's the latter. I believe they believe in what it is we're trying to do.
Couldn't agree more with you, and I know it's something that we've all discussed on many, many occasions, the trying to be the gold standard as a club. And I think, to be honest with you, I think we do that on so many levels. But let's move on to this season and what's to come, so to speak. You know, what can the fans expect this season in terms of the overall fan experience? And, you know, maybe want to give us a bit of an insight into the lead-up into the new season and what fans can expect.
Well, I mean, I suppose the first thing is our fan likes it red. And I suppose the first indication to that, albeit, you know, thanks to national television, our national radio this morning, we didn't get the announcement that we wanted to get. But that's neither here nor there. I think Steve Thornton's done an outstanding job so far. I think that it's been a pleasure to work with him. It's been a pleasure to support him. And moreover than that, it's been a pleasure to watch him carefully construct a roster that I believe will set a standard in the Elite League this year. That's the first thing. But that's on the ice. That's his job. Off the ice, it's very easy to forget that the organisation has invested over £500,000 so far in the off-the-ice experience. And this off-season has been no different. We've spent probably another $250,000 in off-the-scenes, ice plant, Zamboni, all of the stuff that you need to do to have a really, really good, a good offer. But the thing that I've been most keen to do is to, in some way, finish what I started in terms of representing the great history of the club. And I think I've done something that when we open it on the Thursday before the Cardiff game, a lot of people are going to be very proud to be associated with the Belfast Giants.
Well, you've given us a wee insight into that, and I think, you know, it certainly will be something that the vast majority of fans, if not all fans, will indeed, as you quite rightly say, be very, very proud of. One thing, I know you're a regular listener to the podcast, Robert, one thing that became a bit of a Twitter furore there a month or so ago, and I just would be interested to hear in your own views on it. Some of the season ticket holders were quite negative towards the fact that they had to pay for the pre-season game against the Cardiff Devils. I'd be interested just to hear your own views and reasoning behind that this year, because obviously last year fans got that part of their season ticket package.
I think that's a very reasonable question, and I think that fans maybe might have sort of scratched their head and wondered, you know, whether we weren't trying to be as generous, or were we trying to sort of stick one under the radar. Nothing could be further from the truth. The reality of the pre-season games are, pre-season games don't make money at all. They never have. And the sort of the notion of Cardiff being the the team we're playing against, it's a very selfish reason on my behalf. I don't want any distractions when Cardiff come for the real deal. None whatsoever. So it's an awful lot easier to try and get the initial sentiment of the returning of our favourite song out of the road, and then focus on, you know, the meat and drink of the business, which is the Elite League and the Challenge Cup and all that needs from that. We're also in Europe this year. Now, what fans maybe sometimes don't realise, going into Europe is a new and extra budget expense on the P&L. And you have to try and balance a return on the investment that you're making, and I'll let the fans be the judge of the impact of that investment. The fact that on the Thursday and Friday before the Cardiff game, there's going to be a full program of fan involvement. Whether, and I know Steve is working on something very special for a fan event on the Thursday night, which is free. Now, anybody obviously that's committed to that is committed to coming and see what the new product is on the Saturday night. So whether it was £5 or £10 or £15, we were never ever going to please everybody. And the view that I took was, well, the vast majority of our fans know that we run a business. And you know what? If they vote with their feet, and they don't come, lesson learned. If they vote with their feet and they do come because they actually recognize, they're actually recognizing the overall value for money proposition, well then, either way, if be told, I don't think the organization can lose.
I couldn't agree more, and I know we had a healthy debate on it, myself, Paddy and Davey, last week on the podcast, and I think we all pretty much came around to exactly that, what you've just said there, to be brutally honest with you. But you've touched a wee bit about Steve Thornton so far. You know, what are your initial thoughts? You know, the guy obviously came in, Todd Kelman disappeared, he's left in charge as head of hockey operations. You know, what are your own initial thoughts? Are you very impressed with the guy and how he works Monday to Friday so far for you?
Okay, well, you know, it will become very, very clear to everybody in the coming months and years why Steve's here. Steve's greatest strength, in my opinion, is Steve is essentially a strategist. And if I'm trying to build a new platform of support, a new platform of enjoyment, a new platform of recognition, then we need someone who gets Belfast, gets happy, and can then lead the organization within the organization to the next level. Now, the next level has to be about Belfast capitalizing on 15 years of a 20-man roster and starting to address whether the city wants a dynasty of ice, whether the city wants a dynasty of junior development, whether the city wants to see a second ice pad, whether the city wants to embrace the Giants as not only an ice hockey team that plays from September to March and win trophies, but ambassadors for the city that can go to Boston or can go to New York or can go to wherever it is they want to go and represent the city as brand ambassadors. That's why Steve's here.
And he's pulled a rabbit out of the hat anyway, with today's announcement. As you point out, BBC maybe just jumped the gun this morning, but the new signing, Mr. Sawada, certainly looks the real deal as well.
Well, I mean, one of the great joys of my my job is that once you put someone in a position to trust you, let them get on with it. And anybody that I've heard speak to me, anybody that I've heard talk about the signings with a level of trepidation across the wires around, are we going to replace White Cotton? Are we going to replace Suez? You know, how are we going to try and balance out the mix of the team? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Well, I don't wish to be, and this may sound a little bit churlish, it doesn't mean to, but is that your answer?
Absolutely, absolutely. Proven performer at the top level, and has, you know, played in the show and played hundreds upon hundreds of games in the AHL as well, and has done very, very well. It really is a stellar signing. But listen, just finally, Robert, just, you know, and again, you've probably touched on this already to an extent, but as owner of the club, what are your hopes and expectations for the season ahead, especially after what the season that we had last season, which was very successful, but it could have been so much more successful. What are your hopes and expectations leading into this season?
I suppose I haven't really changed from last season. I'm very gracious of you to call me the owner. I'm the representative of the company that picks up the bill. And I suppose my expectations from a professional perspective is that the Belfast Union Giants contribute to play their part in demonstrating all that's good about Odyssey. So that hasn't changed from last year. Off the ice, either we have a product that is bedrock that we can build on and people believe it, or we don't. Now, thankfully, all of the stuff that we've done so far, and we've worked very hard at it, people have responded. I can only ask that continues, because I believe we have an outstanding product that needs to be sampled. However, and you've alluded to this a couple of times as well, on the ice, I just want to win. End off, full stop. I just want to win. I don't lose. I don't like losing. It's not something that sits well with me. And I suppose
I know I was in Nottingham with you at the playoff finals. Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sit well with me, and it's like every other part of how you engage with any factor or any section of your life. Anybody that likes to lose, in my opinion, isn't telling the truth. You know, no one likes to lose. And whilst, you know, I'm being coached at the minute and told, look, Robert, you won the league in your first season, we won it by a streak, and this year, every team's going to lose 14 or 15 times. Let me tell you what my interpretation of what's going on is at the minute. The Belfast Giants set a standard last year, and in setting that standard, have thrown the gauntlet down to every other team. And you know who's going to win out of it? The fans. The fans are going to win. Because the Nottinghams and the Sheffields and the Cardiffs and the Dundees and the Brayheads and the Coventrys of this world have quickly realised that maybe Belfast did do something right. And maybe we can't afford to have an 8-week or a 10-week bonding system before we get a team on the ice. And maybe we have to think about how we're going to beat the system that they're starting to build. And maybe, just maybe, Belfast are doing things that the rest of the league are sitting and going, oh, well, hold on. Maybe we should look at this or maybe we should look at that. Mm-hmm. Now, quite frankly, I don't care. The only thing I care about is that Steve is given the resource and uses his judgment to be the best that we can be.
Robert, as always, it's always insightful listening to your views on all things Belfast Giants and within the Odyssey itself. Thanks for your time for joining us on the podcast this evening.
As always, Coach, it's a pleasure. And if I can just finish off by once again complimenting you on the level of professionalism, the insightful nature of the content of the podcast, and long may that continue.
Cheers. I'm sure Paddy and Davey will appreciate that as well. Cheers, Robert.
We most certainly do. That was CEO of the Odyssey Trust, Robert Fitzpatrick. Always really insightful talking to Robert. You know, you can tell that his business ambition stacks up well against his sporting ambition for the Giants. And we'd like to thank him very much for his kind words there at the end. And we all will also point out the fact that he mentioned during that interview the fan event that takes place next Thursday, the Thursday before the game against the Cardiff Devils. Takes place at the Odyssey Arena. Get yourself down there. If you've got a ticket for the game against the Cardiff Devils, entry is free. If you've got a season ticket, entry is free. If you don't have either of those, get yourself a ticket to the Cardiff game and don't worry about it. But if you don't have a ticket for the Cardiff game, it's £5 for adults on the night. Get more details at BelfastGiants.com. Moving on. Like Rob Sandrock, Evan Chevrey is entering his fourth season as a Belfast Giant. And this season has a bit of added spice because his brother Mark has just been signed up as the number one netminder for the Dundee Stars. He'll be opening the league season against his brother, probably looking for goals. And I had the opportunity to chat to Evan just a few days ago, and I started off by asking him how his summer was going.
Yeah, summer's been pretty good. It's gone by very quick for us. Spent a lot of time with my son. He's been growing up like crazy, and you know, just spending time with friends and family, nothing new, and not doing anything too crazy, a few short trips here and there, but, you know, obviously training, and right now just sort of getting geared up to get back to Belfast, so it's been a good summer, but looking forward to getting back over to the UK.
Of course, you have young children, and does it make that move to Belfast tougher every time, you know, going away? Obviously, it's not going to last forever, but having to uproot yourself for that many months and come back away from family and friends, does it get more and more difficult to do?
Sometimes, but, you know, I've been at it for so long now, I'm kind of numb to that. You know, I just kind of expect to travel away. It is a little hectic trying to get the kid ready to get to the airport and onto the plane and everything. But other than that, it's, you know, we're generally excited to get going, and it's more of an adventure for us. So, you know, we're excited, and, you know, it's kind of become old hat now.
Of course, you're returning to the Giants now under the stewardship of Steve Thornton, and everyone remembers that penalty shot in Nottingham that you scored, which actually marked the last game of Steve's last tenure as the Giants and a playoff champion at that. Are you looking forward to getting back and working under Steve once more?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought he was sort of one of the guys that I figured would be a great fit to come back. You know, I obviously spoke to him at Stewie's testimonial, and I didn't expect he would be, but, mm-hmm. you know, things evolved, and next thing you know, there's his name's announced, and, it's definitely be good to reconnect with him and, you know, play for him and work with him, and I think he'll be a really good fit for the job.
We spoke to Steve a few weeks ago, and I'd be interested in your opinion on this, because through your career, you'll have worked with player coaches, you'll have worked with bench coaches, and obviously a bench coach has to be more authoritarian, where a player coach maybe has to be wary of that he's one of the lads, one of the team. Do you have a preference?
Yeah.
You know, is it more difficult to work under one than the other?
It's tough to say. I've really only had the one player coach with Steve, and you know, I thought he handled it pretty well, but, you know, at the same time, he had a lot on his plate. So, I would say naturally, just the sport of hockey, it's probably more natural to have coach, not a player coach.
Yeah.
And, I think, you know, it worked well for us last year and it worked well for other teams in the past. So I think it'll be good. Obviously, he did have, you do see player coaches, you know, have success, but, I think most players would agree that having the coach sort of outside being a player is a better situation.
Mm. When the Elite League off-season takes hold, we often talk about how small the hockey community is for a player. And this season, you'll not only line up alongside a former university teammate in Mike Compton, but the first game of the season brings the unusual opportunity for you to play against your younger brother, Mark. Now, firstly, on Mark, did you have any influence on him moving to the UK, or was that just basically he saw that as the next step in his career?
For sure, he's bouncing ideas off me. I think he was... at this stage in his career where he didn't know which way he was going to go. He actually was invited to San Jose's development camp through the summer and thought maybe something would come up, but nothing came up there. And as the summer progressed, you know, he was contacted by Dundee and, you know, had an opportunity to do the schooling. And, you know, obviously I'd love to see him in Belfast, but, you know, obviously our goalie situation's a little different. So, But I'm happy for him to get that opportunity. It'll be really cool to play against him. I've never done that other than street hockey growing up, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this unusual for you guys in your pro careers? Is this a first?
This is definitely a first. We're 7 years apart, so I didn't anticipate this happening, but it turns out, you know, it's going to happen, and I think it'll be fun. You know, I being, you know, knowing that he's a goalie, I don't know if there'll be too much sort of thinking about it when we're on the ice. You know, I'll just think it's another goalie, but at the end of the night, I think it'll be pretty cool.
But there's no inkling there, you know, just to get one up on your brother, none at all.
Well, it'll be nice, you know. He's my younger brother, so I have to show my dominance, you know what I mean?
And as for Mike Compton, you lined up alongside him in Miami, I believe. What do you think Belfast fans are going to expect from him?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to be a great fit for Belfast. He'll be a very similar player to my Dustin Whitecotton. Mm-hmm. Hard-working guy, good all-around hockey player, good guy. You know, he's one of those guys that can do it all type of thing. And mm-hmm. He's a good teammate, and you know, I haven't seen him play in many years, but I think you know, the things that he brought at the college level, clearly had success in pro. He'll definitely do well in Belfast, and you know, I'm looking forward to working with him again.
Looking back on last season, Evan, your chemistry with Chris Higgins and Kevin Surrett had you all on a rich vein of scoring. It no doubt was a key factor to our title success. Of course, Higgins has now jumped on to Nottingham. You know, season on season, how difficult is it to adapt and changes in personnel? But then, and then in contrast to that, you know, with so many Giants players coming back, does it make it a bit easier for you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Every year is different. You know, it should be easier. You know, obviously playing with Kevin and Craig and Chris last year. You know, with Craig coming back and Kevin coming back, you know, that could be a line that comes together, but who knows, you know, like, the whole thing could change with the new coach and new faces and, you know, because when you look at, you know, Paul Leddy last year, he liked to snip at his lines, you know, he didn't change any lines throughout the whole season pretty much. And other coaches I've had, you know, they're changing lines throughout the season. It's just how they do things. So, you know, there's an advantage there because we have played together, a lot of us, and if lines are mixed up, you can always go back, or, you know, like, you just never know how things are going to play out, but, you know, I'm confident that things will mesh together, and Steve will have a, you know, Steve will know what to do with the players that he has.
Well, you're a well-established player on the Giants side. Would you want to have any influence on that? Would you say, you know, I've worked really well with Kevin before, maybe we should do that? Or do you fully put it in the hands of the coach?
Well, definitely it's in the hands of the coach, but, you know, usually knowing Steve, he'll probably ask the players and get a feel for things, and players always have the feedback. But ultimately, if it works, it's clear that it works. If it's not working, it's clear that it's not working. So the coach can usually feel those things out, you know, and it's kind of out of the player's hands at the end of the day, really.
When you look back at last season and how well it went, you know, for you guys, do you look back with fondness at last season at winning a title, or a disappointment at what might have been?
It's a little bit of both. You know, obviously we did have, you know, an amazing season. I can't remember too many games that we lost, aside from the two that really stand out, the Challenge Cup final and the league final and the playoff final. And the playoff final, like, geez, you know, it's one of those things. We were short two guys. You know, we still battled, was in the overtime, could have went either way. You know, I think we had a pretty good effort there, regardless of the result. And then, the Challenge Cup, we definitely let, you know, going in with a 5-2 lead or whatever it was, to lose that was kind of, geez, we really should have had that one.
Mm. How much does that drive you and the guys then to try to do, considering that there's such a large number returning from that last season? Is that used to drive you on to try to rectify that mistake?
Oh, certainly, you know, obviously you just want to push the bar even higher, you know. Obviously, we won the league, and we're knocking on the door with two other trophies, and, you know, being competitive and being in the sport long enough, like, that's why we play. That's why most of us, like, we have an older team, and that's why guys compete and continue to play hockey, because they enjoy it and enjoy the competition and enjoy winning. So, yeah, definitely that'll be the goal, to improve on last season and rectify those things that happened last year.
When you, out of interest, when you zip up that kit bag in April, is that you mm-hmm. gone from hockey for those months, or do you look at the Elite League and see, well, of course, you're with your brother signing from Dundee, that was one that you picked up from, but do you look to see, you know, who's signing there, or he's a buddy of mine at that team, or do you just sort of stay away from it until you come back for training camp?
I kind of stay away a little bit, but, you know, I always chuck around to see what's going on. But generally, you know, I go home, maybe watch a little bit of Stanley Cup playoffs. But you know, as far as the EIHL, I don't really follow it that much. I remember in the middle of the summer, I kind of saw that Chris Higgins had left, and I was kind of surprised. But I mean, I kind of like to take the time away, and then, you know, later in the summer, things start to heat up a bit, and then you can kind of see, like, geez, the last 3 weeks I've been following, there's time to sign. So that's kind of how it usually plays out every summer, you know.
So only a couple of weeks to that first preseason game against Cardiff Devils. I assume you've started skating again. You're starting into that build-up to the season?
Yeah, definitely. We're on the ice a few times this week, probably three times next week, and then... you know, I've already seen the training camp schedule. It looks pretty thick. So I'm sure we'll have lots of time to prepare and be well prepared for those matches. And then the following week, obviously, start pinning things down for the season.
And how long before you gather up the family and jump on the plane?
Oh, yeah. It's about a week's time. It's scheduled time to leave. So we got another week to get our stuff together and get the odds and ends taken care of, and that'll be it. You know, it should be, it's good, you know, heading back to the team, played for in years past, you know what you're getting into, and it should be a smooth transition that way. So definitely helps with the family situation. So, yeah, like I said before, we're excited for that.
And thanks again to Evan, of course. As we mentioned in that interview, Evan Chevrier's last action under the tenure of Steve Thornton was to score the winning penalty shot to lift the playoff championship in 2010. That was the last time the Belfast Giants won the playoffs, despite the heroic efforts of our next guest. Adam Keefe showed the NIC what being a captain was all about, as in the playoff finals he laced up the skates, he put the pads on, put his shirt on, and showed that he was there to support his team in any way he could. Everybody could see that he wasn't fit to be there. Everybody could see that he was skating on one leg. But no, Adam Keefe wanted to be part of that game, wanted to be part of that team, and wanted to try to inspire his team to a playoff championship. Unfortunately, that day it wasn't to be. Drew Fatta scoring the winning goal in overtime for the Sheffield Steelers, but let's not dwell on that. Adam Keefe is on his way back to captain the Giants once more, and he spoke with Neil the Coach Russell.
Delighted to say joining us is the captain of the Belfast Giants, number 47, Adam Keefe. And Kiefer, welcome back to Belfast. I believe you got in at the weekend.
Yes, thanks. It's good to be back. I think we're a 6.5 hour flight and then back on the rock.
You're now moving into your fourth season with the Belfast Giants. Does that level of anticipation and excitement still grip you every time that you're coming back season on season?
Yeah, I think each year, I think after the first season we won, but we still wanted to win more. You know, I think we felt stung on the Challenge Cup and in the playoffs, and then the second year, obviously, we felt stung on all the trophies, so you want to come back and you want to have another good season. And then I think we did that last year, but again, we fell short on the Challenge Cup and the playoffs, so there's obviously, we always want to get back, and we want to win everything there is to win. And I think that always leaves motivation on the table.
We've talked about it many times, about the nucleus of this Belfast Giants team that have been coming back now for the guts of the last three or four seasons. And we've heard many times the likes of Robert Fitzpatrick talking about the dynasty that he's trying to build in Belfast with the entire organisation. What is it specifically from a player's perspective that keeps these core guys coming back year on year?
Well, I think it's success is one of the main reasons. Is we've seen success over the last few years, and players love winning, and that's kind of the thing that gets you going the most is, you know, that chance to win a championship year in and year out. But obviously, you know, they treat us well here in Belfast, and I see the majority of players that have come back year after year. You know, we're kind of like a small family, and in that, you know, we've kind of grown together over the last 3 years, at least 3 years that I've been here. And it's kind of like I always say, I'm coming home now when I come here. It's not a, you know, you're not going away to play hockey, you're coming home. So it's kind of been a family feeling. And it's not just the guys that are here. I've been contacted from players around the league that, you know, what is going on over there that so many players are returning. You know, you guys must have a tight-knit group, and they're right. And I think players recognize that and want to be a part of it.
So with regards to the summer just gone, you obviously stayed on in Belfast for a wee while after the season, but you headed back home. And more recently there, we saw a photograph with you with the Stanley Cup. What was the captain up to over the course of the summer?
I had quite a busy summer, actually. I think first month or so I spent trying to get back into top form because of the knee injury there I had at the end. And that was kind of irritating because I couldn't get back into the gym and do the things that I wanted to do and get on the ice. And so I had to kind of hold off for a while. But then I had a couple of visitors here, and Craig Peacock and Andrew Dixon. We had a great time there for 10 days or so in Toronto. And then the girlfriend came over for 2 weeks. And then I went, like you said, to visit my good friend Mike Richards, who who was fortunate enough to win the Stanley Cup again. And he had a Stanley Cup party, and it was a great time. I mean, it's kind of hard to say no to that party.
Absolutely. Well, you've kind of touched on it already there to do with last season. As captain of the club for the last couple of seasons and looking back primarily at last season, do you look at the season just gone as a failure in any way, or do you look at it overall whenever you take everything into the grand scheme of things as overall a successful season?
It's tough to say. I think definitely it was a successful season last year. I think the way that we wrapped it up, you know, it's hard to say it's not a successful season. Mm-hmm. But the way that it ended kind of leaves a bitter taste in your mouth, and it leaves you wanting more. And what could have been if, you know, maybe if our focus was right for a couple of games more. I think that's kind of the thing that leaves a bitter taste in your mouth over the summer. And, you know, we were that close to a treble. And those are the kind of things that make you want to come back and correct those wrongs. And again, this year we're going to have the Continental Cup that we kind of squandered away and 2 years ago. And I think, you know, we kind of want to right that wrong as well.
Well, funny, with Rob Sandrock as well on this week's podcast, and he talks in his interview about the unfinished business to do with the last time we were in Europe. And I suppose, as we've already said, the nucleus of that team is back again. And you probably looking at it overall, the squad has even strengthened from that stage. I take it, you know, obviously it's a primary focus for us to try and progress in that competition this time.
Yeah, I think it's kind of ironic that it's back in Germany. And I mean, maybe that's a sign that we're supposed to go back there and right this wrong. But no, yeah, we want to do well in this tournament. We look at it as a chance to kind of prove that this league belongs with the top leagues in Europe, and we want to kind of continue on and be successful and hopefully get to the finals in that pool. So,
and last season as well, you and I had that discussion on the Christmas time to do with the whole lack of fighting or the change of fighting within hockey in general. But one thing that was really apparent last season was the lack of overall fights. But it's fair to say that the team or the squad right across the league, all the squads have bulked up, not just with tough guys but also in quality. Are you expecting a bit more of a physical league this year with the amount of tough guys been signed?
I think if you look at it, there's more guys that play physical, and that could result in some more fights, yes. But I think you see every summer teams go out and get one or two guys, and I guess it depends on how the games end up. I mean, if they're tight games, and you know, guys might not want to be risking that kind of a game. You know, they have to really be disciplined and to win games over the course of the season. And I think you'll see a lot of tight games this season. So that could reflect in the amount of fights. But there's no doubt that teams have went out and gotten physical players that are willing to back it up. And I think it makes for a fun season.
And obviously, the big announcement last week was the signing of Ray Sawada, obviously a power forward kind of in the mould of a Jeffrey Swayze, and comes with that pedigree of having played in the show as well. And that'll give you a wee bit of backup in terms of the fighting or the physical side of things as well.
Yeah, I remember playing against Ray in the American League, and he's definitely that. He's definitely a power forward, and he's big, strong, he moves fast, and he's a big body, and he likes to throw his weight around. But not only that, he can play, and he's pretty tough as well. So it's kind of like the complete package, and that's what we were looking for, and to try and get back of what we lost with Swayze.
And obviously, quite a bit's happened since the end of the season in terms of Killers moved on to Cardiff, and Paul Ady has moved on, and we've now got Steve Thornton in as the head of hockey operations. What have you heard about Thorts, and are you looking forward to working underneath him?
I've dealt with Thorts quite frequently over the summer with, you know, from dealing, talking about guys that he was recruiting or what's going to go on this season, and just kind of just staying in touch and making sure that that I know that things are going to be run the same as when Killer was gone, and just so that as well that Thorsten knows that we have his back, and you know, just because Killer left, we're not going to jump ship or change. You know, we're still committed, and we still believe in the brass here and in Thorsten himself, and I know that he did good things here when he was here, and the returning players that played for him, they all love him, and nothing but great things to say about him. So there wasn't much of a shock. There was a shock factor, but you know, we weren't scared too much. We knew that obviously Todd brought in the right guy to take over the reins.
And just something about remiss of me not to ask you something that I know is very, very close to your heart, and something that happened just in the off season, the passing of young Oscar Knox. And I know that you got very close with Oscar and his family, and we made mention of it on a couple of occasions on the podcast as well. And you know, that was a really sad time for everyone.
Yeah, I think anytime you see something like that, I mean, nobody. I mean, it puts things into perspective, and it was just devastating news. And you know, you feel for the family, you feel for everyone involved there, and it's just I think that you have to take, I guess, what you can out of it. Oscar's made me a better person, and just through following his fight and his battle, and makes you really put things into perspective, and. You know, just kind of know what's important in life. And so I think, you know, it was important for me to have met Wee Oscar, and I hope he's resting in peace.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, in terms of moving on now to the hockey, it seems almost inconsequential whenever you talk about something like that. But I wanted to ask you that on the back of the amount of work that you did with Oscar and the amount of work you do in the charity side of things off the ice for the organisation. But just finally, Kiefer, moving on to this season. You know, obviously everyone sets out with the aspirations of winning all the trophies. What are your own hopes and expectations for yourself and for the team leading into the new season?
Well, I mean, I just want to have another successful season. I think that's the mindset we come into every year. We want to win every game that's in front of us, and that's the only way to win championships in this league is to stay consistent. And you can't afford a lapse at the start of the season, and so we kind of have to get our minds right over the next few weeks and kind of go into the season hot. And try and keep the ball rolling throughout the season. I think the team that stays consistent the most throughout the year, that's usually the team that comes out with the league championship. And we want to be that team.
Get the work boots on. Kiefer, thanks a million for your time.
No problem.
And thanks to Adam Keefe. Back again to captain the Belfast Giants. We look forward to seeing him back in that number 47 shirt on Odyssey Ice. Before we get to our final interview of this very special show, it's Ray Sawada coming up. I'd like to just point out that we have a Jeffrey Suez game-worn shirt up for grabs in a View from the Bridge ballot. There are 50 tickets for sale, each at £5. All the proceeds going directly back into the Belfast Giants. So keep an eye on our Twitter account at AVFTB or on kingdomofthegiants.com. All the details are in the forum there. Get in touch with Davey. Get your hands on one of those ballots and you could be winning a game-worn Jeffrey Suez shirt. As I said, Ray Sawada is our final interview of this show. And you heard from Adam Keefe earlier on that he has been described as the full package. It raised a few eyebrows amongst the Elite League once Sawada joined. He has quite the CV, having spent a lot of time in the AHL, in the upper echelons. Spent a bit of time with the Dallas Stars in the NHL before playing his trade last season in Finland. Earlier on this evening, Davey McGimpsey was able to catch up with the latest signing.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show the newest Belfast Giant, Mr. Ray Sawada. Ray, welcome to Belfast.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to get started.
Well, Ray, first up, just tell us how this opportunity came about.
I was in Europe last year and was looking at different leagues, and then Belfast came along, and I heard nothing but good things about the city and the team and the treatment of its players, so I thought it'd be a pretty good opportunity to play there if I was going to be in the British League there.
What are you kind of hoping to get out of the Belfast experience? I believe the whole family are making the move, and you're looking forward to coming to Northern Ireland and our famous hospitality?
Yeah, I think we're really excited. I don't know what to expect other than, I mean, what I've seen from movies, and I'm not even sure if that's completely accurate of Ireland. But yeah, me and the family are very excited to see Ireland, see some castles, and probably indulge in some Guinness.
And what can we expect from Ray, the player? You know, you've been described probably from your junior B days as a player who loves a game, you compete hard every night and keep the other teams honest. Does that just about still sum you up?
Yeah, I'm still pretty much the same player. I think I'm a hard-working two-way player. I finish my checks hard. I play defense and sound in my own end, and I also produce offensively. So I think two-way player that, yeah, competes hard every night. That's what you can expect.
In the past, in the quite recent past, you've lived every Canadian boy's dream. You know, you made it to the NHL with Dallas. Do you look back on that as a sense, you know, with a sense of what might have been? You could have had a longer career in the show, or are you just immensely proud that you made that happen?
Well, the way my career ended in the NHL, I'm not completely happy about. I ended up getting a hit to the head, which ended up being my last game. So, yeah, it'll always be a little bit sour. I believe that I could have had a longer career. How long, I have no idea. But I believe I could have played a lot more than just 11 games. So it's a little bit tough to swallow sometimes due to the injury that happened, which ended up ending my opportunity there. But in the end, I am happy that I made it to the NHL. But I think, like everybody else, they probably always want more. And I was looking to have longer and, a better career in the NHL.
Well, after that experience, you know, came the, you know, your time in the AHL and the East Coast, and then obviously last season made the move to Finland. What made you take that jump to try out Europe?
Well, it kind of came down to opportunity. When me and my agent talked about the opportunity in the NHL, and if that wasn't going to be there, then Europe has, I mean, fantastic opportunities to make a good living. And so we were looking just to maybe start another hockey career in Europe. So that's why we made the move there to Finland.
Obviously, with this season with the Belfast Giants, the league champions last year, the opportunity to play in the Continental Cup. And in October, we head to Bremerhaven, where we'll play Dutch and German teams in the first round. Is that something that helped sell the Belfast Giants to you?
Not, that wasn't huge. I mean, obviously, I had heard about the Champions League when I was in Finland, because my team last year, they were going to be in the Champions League this year. And obviously, any exposure can't hurt you, right? So, I mean, even if it's the Continental Cup, we're going to be playing teams from around the league and other parts of Europe. And yeah, it only can be beneficial, I think, to the individual and team.
So, I'll give you one final question, Ray. Your career highlight, you've been an NCAA champion, silver medal in the Finnish league, you've played in the NHL. Has the highlight still to be written for Ray Sawada?
You know what? In my first NHL game, I scored my first NHL goal, and career-wise, I think, personally and selfishly, that has been a highlight. I mean, scoring a goal in the NHL. Career-wise, I've played on a lot of great teams, both in the college and the American Hockey League, going to the finals twice. So, yeah, you know what? Every year has its ups and downs, but there's just highlights every year, and that's why I love hockey, is because of the group of people that you get to meet. And, yeah, it's just always a great experience. But, yeah, like you said, hopefully the career highlight is still to come. That would be awesome if I was able to win a championship with the Belfast Giants.
Yes, and so say all of us. Ray, thank you very much for joining us this week. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you coming in next week. Wish you all the very best in Belfast and safe travels over the coming day on your trip across.
All right, thank you very much.
I think as Giants fans, we're all pretty excited to see how much of the real deal Rey Suarez is, as well as Mike Compton, two new faces in the Giants squad. Well, that's it for this special episode of A View from the Bridge. I'd like to thank Rey Suarez, Robert Fitzpatrick, Adam Keefe, Evan Chevrolet, and Rob Sandrock for their time. I'd like to, of course, thank Neil, the Coach Russell, and David McGimsey for their interviews. And I'd like to thank you for listening. The hockey is on its way, guys. If you want to get in touch with us, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, at AVFTB on Twitter, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, and soundcloud.com/AVFTB. All these interviews will be on there in the next few days. We will be back next week to look ahead to the forthcoming games against the Cardiff Devils. And like I say, the summer's nearly over. Hockey's around the corner. We'll catch you here next week on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise. Still you rise.